sins, even the sins that he've committed, and even the sins that he may commit later on today. Which one of them little girls got up and said that? It was one of them. Praise God. Amen. Back there. So what am I trying to say? I am just as vulnerable to sin, but thanks be to God that God did something for me. Praise God. He quickened me together with Christ. Amen. And he did it, praise God, because he was making me alive in Christ. Amen. Let me see, can I clarify that and then get, because somebody would ask a question, how did he do this? How did he make us alive in Christ Jesus? Amen. You see, the work of God's mercy is to raise us up with Christ. I want you to note two critical factors, because one, Scripture plainly declares that God has raised up believers together in Christ. How is this possible when Christ was crucified and raised, praise God, over some 2,000 years ago? Amen. What does the Scripture mean? It means this. It means that God raised Jesus Christ for three reasons. And if you don't get anything else out of what I say this morning, I want you to try to put your mind on these three reasons. First of all, Jesus lived a sinless and perfect life. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, Jesus lived a sinless and perfect life. You see, God loved man and wanted to save man, but God had a problem. Let me tell you what the problem was. The problem was this, that man had already sinned. Amen. And righteousness and perfection had already been lost. Only and only perfection can live in the presence of God. How many of y'all agree with that? God, the only perfection. That's why God had to turn his back on his son when he was on the cross. Praise God. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to forsake him because he could not stand to see sin on his son. So only perfection can live in the presence of God. However, there was one hope. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, there was hope for man. Praise God. You see, if man could live, I shouldn't say if man, if a man could live a perfect and ideal life, man should care the perfect ideal righteousness. Amen. Somebody know where I'm going already. Praise God. And then the ideal man could stand for and cover all men who trust him. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, this is what Jesus in fact did for us. He came to earth as a man and he lived a perfect and sinless life. He never broke a law nor went against God's will, not even once. Praise God. He secured a perfect righteousness for us. In other words, he was the ideal man and the perfect man. Therefore, he did not deserve to die. He deserved to live eternally with God. But guess what? He loved us so much. He loved us so much. Praise God. And not only that, but praise God, not only did he come and he live a sinless and a perfect life, Jesus died for men.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYKKQJO.
Awesome. Gentle Redeemer.
were speaking from the book of Luke, Luke 9, and we were finishing up on the 55th verse, and Jesus was answering the question that the disciples had asked him, and they wanted to know if they should call down fire, because the Samaritans would not allow Jesus to come into their village. So the disciples, James and John, they asked Jesus the question, well, should we call down fire and consume them like Elijah did? And Jesus answered them, and he said, he turned to them and he rebuked them. And this is what he said, and ye know not what spirit you are of. So the whole question for us today is, do you know what spirit that you're of? Some of us are walking around thinking that we have the devil spirit in us. And the devil lies. The Bible says he's a liar and he's the father of the lies. And so we're walking around here entertaining liars and people that's not doing the right things, people that are just evil through and through. That's not the spirit of God, saints of God. Verse 56 says, for the Son of Man is not come. This is how he answered those disciples when they asked him, should we call down fire? And he said, do you know not what manner of spirit that you of? For the Son of Man is not come to destroy them, to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he went on another way. And he went on to another village. And the moral of this lesson is, to you saints, that we are called Christians or Christ-like. Do you know what spirit that you're of? I'm still asking you, do you know what spirit that you're of? Because there's so many people that are going opposite of God, and God is not pleased. God is a spirit. God never changes. We need to understand this about God. So when you're thinking you can like roll to the left a little bit, roll to the right a little bit, we just won't take up the seriousness of what the old scripture said and what the old preachers preached. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't gamble, don't humbug. No effeminate person is going to enter into the kingdom of God. No, we want to let them in. We want to let them in. But guess what? God don't change. God is not letting them in. You can let them in, and your soul is going to inevitably is going to be lost also, because you're not following the word of God. God is a spirit. God never changes. You know, God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God is not a man that he should lie. This is the scripture we're going to pick up on in Numbers. God is not a man that he should lie. If he told you these things way back there then, they still apply to you right now. And you can act like they don't, but they still apply to you. You know, God is not a man that he should lie. If he put it in his Bible, then that's exactly what he means. He didn't erase it out. You know, and if you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers 23, and we're going to read verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. You know, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This is what the book of Numbers is asking us. If he said it, is he not going to make it good? If he spoke it, I mean, won't he do it? Saints of God, we need to pay attention to the scriptures. You know, we need to more and more, even more so now, we must know what kind of spirit that we're of. God is the truth. And when I make an emphasis on the truth, that means the only one. He's the only truth. There's no other truth but God. Truth came from God. Truth is God. He is truth. You know, So when you use the word the, that means that it's only one. It's one of a kind. Jesus is the only one of his kind that is truth and spirit and life. Now, Jesus is the truth, the spirit, and life. The Holy Spirit is the only life, one of his kind. He is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only one of his kind. He is Jesus. He is Lord, God, and Savior of mankind. The only one. There's nobody else can do the same. You know, God cannot lie simply because he is the truth. Now take it real simple now. Don't make it complicated. God can't lie. So that means everything that he's telling you in his word, you can depend on it. You can rely on it. You can go to bed and sleep on it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Because what he said is absolutely the truth. Saints of God, stop making it hard to believe what God says. God says what he says, and he mean what he says. You know, this is the spirit that we're of. You know, our whole nature and character, the whole nature and character of us is that of God himself. It's of God himself. You know, we were made in the likeness, in his likeness. We were fashioned in his image. Let's not lose sight of this, saints. You know, let's not lose sight of it. This is monumentous. This is so big until you just can't capture it any kind of way. It's so big that God is truth. And we were made in God's image and in his likeness. And whatever he put in the Bible is truth because he is the truth. And if we keep this in our sight, then that God can't lie. God is the truth. God keeps his word. If he says anything in the Bible, he'll do it. Or if he has spoken anything in the Bible, he will make it good. You can count on it, saints of God. God will make it good. You know, my God, this is a word for someone that's listening today. I got sorrow over high. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. This is a word for somebody today. You know, for somebody that's listening right now, God says that he is our healer. You take your healing right now. God says that he's our provider. You know, what do you need from God right now? You need money, you need clothes, you need a job, you need children, you need to be saved. All of your family need to be saved. The children, your grandchildren, friends, and you know, they're all protected. Under the blood of Jesus. You know, they're protected from murderers, from accidents, from shootings, people driving by and shooting, from murderers, people that want to murder you. You know, hallelujah. God is there for you right now to take your needs, whatever you need. He'll provide for you that protection that you need. And I thank God for it right now. You know, God is protecting us. Take your protection right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is still alive and he's still on his throne. And he will deliver us from the hands of the enemy. The Bible says Jesus came to destroy all the works of the enemies. Not just some of them, but all the works of the enemies. And all means all. Whatever is holding you captive. You know, whatever is capturing you right now. You know, you got to remember